Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need, whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding. We always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the disco. La discoteca.
La discoteca.
Welcome to Better Together, guys. When you know better, you get better. Today we have an amazing guest who's going to teach us how to be happy.
Woo!
So if you're feeling like shit out there, or you're miserable, or whatever it is that you are, today you're going to get happy, and we're going to teach you how to keep that happiness with happiness expert, New York Times bestselling author Gretchen Rubin. She's going to give us some practical strategies. So get ready to be happy. Our quote of the day, the desire to start something at the right time is usually just a justification for delay. In almost every case, the best time to start is now. And that is from our guest, Gretchen Rubin. My nose is very itchy right now. You know, the Greek folklore would say I'm about to get into a fight. So no one start
true?
With
Ooh.
Me. Yeah, when your nose is itchy, it means you're going to get into a fight. If your palms are itchy, it means money's coming.
Wow.
Yeah, so thank you guys for joining us as always. We are excited to bring you this amazing content. In fact, if you haven't subscribed officially yet to the show, please do. So here's the deal. Let's help each other, right? Because we are better together. So I can help you if you subscribe to this channel, Maria Menounos. That way you'll never miss an episode. I can keep bringing you these amazing experts right to you. And you can help me and other listeners find this show. So if you rate and review this on Apple Podcasts, that would be tremendously helpful to us. But also share an episode via social media or something like that. Anything you can do to help us build, we'd be greatly appreciative of, right, guys?
That's absolutely right.
We do this for free because we're passionate about empowering you all and ourselves at the same time. So please help us. If you haven't joined our Patreon, we're doing really cool exclusive content there. You can click the link in the summary and join us there. Meanwhile, I tried the cauliflower smoothie from Karina yesterday, how she taught us to do cauliflower. I actually went to Smart and Final because it's great. You can buy stuff kind of in bulk there.
I love that you shop at Smart and Final, by the way.
Yeah.
I love it too. I shop there as well.
Oh, I took the minivan. I was just kind of, the list on the chalkboard was getting so massive that we had to write in real little letters. And everybody's so busy right now. And I was like, all right, I guess I got to do it. So I went to Smart and Final. Meanwhile, Kevin's been the shopper during Corona. I've only gone once recently. I went to Whole Foods, but I went to Smart and Final. And I started collecting stuff. I had a list, and then I eventually abandoned the list because I'm like, I'm just going to look at everything they have to offer and buy whatever I think we need. And so I just started going through the house. By the time I got to the middle, my cart was overflowing. Like, guys, overflowing. I was jamming shit in, and then I'm like, how am I going to get all the soda and the water and everything? And P.S., we don't use water bottles anymore here. You guys bring your water
containers and you use the filter inside the other room, I'm not going to carry water like that. It's just not happening.
I agree.
That is for our emergency guests someday when we have guests again. But I am not doing that again. And I'm not having anybody else lift all that. It was so much. So I went in and so I couldn't, at one point I couldn't move the cart. It was so heavy.
I'm just picturing you, Maria.
I was like,
and then struggling.
How about this one lady? She was so like annoyed. I'm coming down and I'm, you know, trying to move the carriage. It's really heavy. And I swear she was judging me. And I'm like, lady, I have like 18 people I'm shopping for. Okay. So don't judge me. And she was coming up with her empty carriage and she had to back up because I was already almost at the end and she was just entering into the aisle. So she had to back up. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you. And she just kind of looked at me with this grunt. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's...
She needs today's episode, people.
She needs today's episode. Mm-hmm. Grocery store politics can get dicey. I mean, I'm surprised you're not doing Instacart, Maria.
I did in the height of the pandemic, but it got so expensive. I mean, just like the tip was $100.
Yeah, that's true.
That was crazy because we have a lot of mouths to feed here. And so it was a lot. And then also their replacements were annoying.
Yeah, that does get annoying.
Oh my gosh,
I have all this vanilla coconut yogurt we're never going to eat because they replaced with vanilla coconut yogurt. And so it was a little frustrating. And I just, this isn't the time to be spending all that extra money on delivery if you don't have to. And I know I can get in and out safely with my masks and my gloves and whatever. So I did it. But I did try my cauliflower smoothie. I took it down. It was really good. And I feel like I have a lot of vitamin B. I feel like my blood glucose levels are lower.
So here's the question though, Maria. Yeah. Did you do banana and cauliflower?
You know, I got really excited to add a lot of ingredients in today, right? I was bringing back my spinach. That was awesome. And then I threw my walnuts in there, flaxseed, chia, a little teaspoon of peanut butter. Because I don't have any almond butter because I forgot to get that yesterday. And then I got the bananas that we had chopped up for our shoot the other day. And I just put like two little slices. So I just threw that in there for a little potassium, I guess, you know. But it was really good. I'm glad that we learned yesterday on the show.
Ew, I'm going to try. I got to try that
And
tomorrow.
Now that I know better, I've gotten better. Please, can we cut to, if we're talking about happiness today, yes, thank you, Kelsey. You know exactly where I'm going with this. I saw this on social media, and he just made me so happy. Let's watch this little Frenchie. He's the cutest thing ever. Wait till what he does at the end. I just got to get his audio up. That's the woman. And he's like cocking his head. And then he dives into her arms. I love him so much.
I love a Frenchie.
Oh. He's my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
I love him so much, or her, whatever.
The best thing.
That little dive, but like, it's almost like...
leap of faith.
It knew that he knew, or she knew that it was going to land on the hands. It wasn't like this free Superman dive. It was like...
I like the hesitation before, too. It's like the, okay. Yeah. Oh, I love him. I want one. Can we get one?
I need him so bad. Although, I'll tell you, when we were thinking of moving to Greece the other day, and we called up my best man for my wedding. I was like, okay, we're moving to Greece. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, we're going to do it. I'm done. We're moving to Greece. I want to be in the village with goats and lambs and donkeys, and that's it. And so we hung up the phone, and I go, Kev? And he goes, yeah, this is exciting. And I go, shit, how are we going to get the dogs over there?
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but It's time to make your life a little easier, and to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there, this little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
Because I'm not putting Max under a plane for, you know, 18 hours. It's not happening.
I think
so. The move to Greece went down the tubes real fast.
No, I think Lufthansa is doing dogs. Actually,
Max is 130 pounds.
Max is a horse.
Max is like a small pony, like a large pony.
Max would be the game changer.
Where do I put him? On the plane?
On your lap?
I mean,
you sail him.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when he pees, it's a river. How am I going to get him? This is what I was thinking. How am I going to get him, even if he's on the plane physically with me and I don't have to put him underneath? How do I control the pee thing? Do I dehydrate him and not give him water and watch his kidneys shrivel up while he's on a plane for so many hours?
It's a long time. It's a good point.
I
wouldn't do that.
Yep.
Gosh, it makes me think, why isn't there an animal airline? Oh, I know that sounds crazy, but
I've talked about it for years.
Yeah.
My best friend Rachel and I fight over who came up with the idea, because she was like, that was me. And I'm like, no, you don't even have dogs. Why would you care?
I wish you guys could see Ryan's face right now.
What?
He's so
Animal
excited.
Airline.
He's so excited.
The name's there. I think that works. Yeah. That needs to happen.
No, I've always said that because, and I wanted to start it because everybody wants to travel with their pet and nobody wants to put them underneath. It's not safe. You've seen how many dogs die. It's just a disaster. But listen, if we all can fly on a plane with them, and now you don't have to annoy the people on the regular airlines, yep, who don't want to deal with it. It's like kids. I thought there should be a full kids airline. Like, moms have such guilt when their kids are crying on a plane, and the nice people like us have to turn around and be like, oh, it's okay, we're so sorry, do you need help? The rest of the people are growling and they feel awful and they already have enough stress as it is. You need a kids airline.
Smart.
Like a family airline. So I thought family and pets, like, they need their own scam so that they can fly comfortably.
Well, the thing with the animal airline too is if you let people who wanted to fly that on, they could like play with the dogs. Like if it was a bunch of really nice animals.
Oh my gosh.
I could fly that, and then you're hanging out with like awesome animals the whole
totally.
Time.
I would be a flight attendant in 2 seconds for that airline.
Yeah.
Me and the animals. I just want to be with animals. That's always been my dream in life.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Facebook group and Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
So, okay, let's get to our guest because it's time to get happy, everybody. Gretchen Rubin is a 5-time New York Times bestselling author. I said earlier, I feel like she is to happiness what Brené Brown is to vulnerability. So she's a podcaster, a speaker, and today she's the most influential and thought-provoking observer of happiness and human nature, and her writing relentlessly explores human nature to understand how we can make our lives better. And so, Gretchen Rubin, you've got the pressure today to teach us how to be happy.
It's my favorite subject.
She's like, I got this. I can do this blindfolded.
Yes, my favorite subject.
How are you?
I'm good. I mean, it's a strange time, but I'm doing very well.
So for someone who is a happiness expert or the happiness expert, have you had unhappy moments during this whole pandemic?
Oh, well, sure. You know, I don't think that being, you know, happy or trying to be happier means that you're happy 24/7 every day. I don't think that's realistic. I don't even think that would be a good life. So certainly I've had many, a lot of moments of unhappiness during this time. It's a very challenging time in so many ways.
So how do you get out of those unhappy moments? How do you get out of those kind of darker moments where the news now starts to seep in and affect you and, you know, the state of the world? How do you get yourself out?
Well, one thing is exactly about what you just said, the news, managing news, how much I'm taking in the news. Because, I mean, we all have a duty to keep ourselves well informed, obviously. And there were days, you know, there have been days where you felt like, okay, every half an hour, like there's some major piece of news. But then it's very easy to fall into just over consuming kind of opinion and takes, and it's not really educating me. It's just sort of maybe dragging me down or causing me to ruminate in a way that isn't helpful. So I try to be very aware of how I take in news. I tend to get news from newspapers, which I like partly because it's kind of cold. You know, it's very analytical. Mm-hmm. It tends to be more information dense, less emotional, and it's finite. Like, you can come to the end of a newspaper, you cannot come to the end of your news feed. My husband did something interesting right when everything was sort of at its most intense. He kind of wakes up low. You know, some people wake up high. I'm a real morning person myself. He wakes up low and he realized that he was getting up and looking at the news, and it was just like really hard to recover from that. So what we started doing is I always walk our dog Barnaby first thing in the morning. And so he didn't check the news until noon, and he would come out with me and walk Barnaby, which he usually didn't do. So he got a little bit of exercise, a little bit of conversation, some time with our dog, which he loved. Being outside in the sunlight, getting a little bit of movement, all these things are good for energy and cheer and focus. And then getting his day started before he jumped into the news. And that was really helpful. He doesn't really need to do it as much anymore, though we're still walking Barnaby together. Because sometimes I think we feel like we kind of can't help what's in our environment, but often there are strategies that we can use to shape our environment in a way that can help us to be happier.
So teach us how to do that. You know, I've watched your YouTube videos and you do talk about movement and singing. So if you can go through kind of the steps for everybody, if they want to access happiness in their life, how, if you could describe that for people.
Well, do you want like the big overarching themes, or do you want like the emergency toolkit if you need to do something in the next 10 minutes?
Let's do both. Let's start with the emergency toolkit because a lot of people are in 911 moments. Let's go for it.
Yes, exactly. Right. That's why I put together the list. So these are things that you could do right now that are going to give you a boost. You know, this is not the deep work. These are not the long-term things. These are the short-term things. These are the band-aids that, you know, you can use right now. So one is, you mentioned, movement. So go outside for a 10-minute walk. Do 10 jumping jacks. I find that getting my feet off the floor, it's energetic, it's playful, it's kind of goofy. I constantly tell my daughters, do 10 jumping jacks if they're feeling low. But a little bit of walking is so great for our energy and focus, and also just getting out in the sunlight. We spend most of our time indoors, and even in a brightly lit room, it's a much dimmer environment than if you went outside on even a very overcast day. And that light goes right into our eyes. It's helpful for our circadian rhythm and all kinds of things that are happening in our body, and it will improve our mood, our energy, our immune function, which everybody's focused on right now. Another thing is music. Listening to your favorite upbeat music is one of the quickest, easiest ways to intervene in your mood. So, you know, a lot of people have, I have a podcast with my sister called Happier, and we invited listeners to send their favorite songs, like their go-to song. And so there's a Happier 911 playlist that we put together. And this is everybody's like, if you have that one song that you play when you need your, like, your walk-on music or whatever, because that's very easy. Another thing is to do something nice for someone else. Do good, feel good. It really works. If you can do a little good deed for someone else, I mean, even as small as, you're looking for a good novel, let me recommend a great novel. Doing something small for someone else or something big for someone else makes us, our lives reflect our values, and it also just makes us feel good. It's one of the nicest things about human nature, is that it makes us feel good to make other people happier. Another thing to do is just to connect with someone else. And this is true even for introverts. Having a moment of connection tends to boost our mood. And this is even something as simple as, you know, saying a quick hello to a clerk in a store, or like where I live, like everyone's wearing masks all the time. And so people are really going out of their way to kind of wave and to smile big so that we have kind of a sense of friendliness on the street in this time. And, you know, these little moments of connection with other people, stopping to talk to someone's dog, you know, things like that, they really do boost our mood. So these are things you can do very quick. Oh, and one of my favorite things is to connect with your body through smell. I love the sense of smell. Smell
Me too.
A bottle of vanilla, smell your fresh dog. You do? Oh,
my
let's
God.
Talk about smell.
Yesterday, I was
so
a little
powerful.
Bit sad, and I walked over to my jasmine, and there's just a few left. And I went and I inhaled, and I literally said, thank you, God, for leaving a few on here for me.
I mean, it is like there's nothing like, and that's one of the things I feel so sorry, like, because my next book is all going to be about the body and reaching the mind through the senses. And one thing I've been so sad about is realizing that one of the symptoms of COVID-19 is this loss of smell and taste. Sometimes it's kind of an early symptom, but sometimes it's really lasting. And when you pay attention to how much these senses enliven our lives. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you and I are very tuned into scent, but people take it for granted. They don't realize, like, when people lose their sense of scent, their sense of smell, they really experience a loss and often go into depression. It messes with their appetite. It messes with their relationships. They feel disconnected from other people because they're not connected by smell. So it is one thing that it's easy to ignore it. It can kind of fade into the background, but if you dial into it, if you really take the moment to smell the jasmine, right? You can stop and smell the roses. You can stop and smell the jasmine. You can stop and smell a bottle of cinnamon, which I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baby powder, your husband's shaving cream, all these things, these are wonderful. I just bought I was in the grocery store, I almost never go to the grocery store, so it's like really exciting now. And they had a bar of Lava soap, which was what my grandfather used when I was little, because he was an engineer on the Union Pacific Railroad, so he needed it for his hands. I was like, I'm going to buy this soap just so I can feel it and smell it and be taken back to my childhood.
Yeah.
And it was like so exciting to do that. And all I did was, you know, pay attention to a bar of soap.
I know. Scent is major for me. I have the most powerful nose.
Ooh.
And so it's all right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past. But as you know, I am focused on my health these days. And I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor. And it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios. And then I got addicted. And now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them.
My
alert, as
yes.
well as it's my joy. And so for me, going out on a hike, I smell every smell that's out there. You know, like those plants that kind of smell cinnamony? That
yes.
gives me like the greatest joy. But I also have, you know, this thing where I walk a certain path in my neighborhood where there are a lot of older homes, because the older homes have old rose bushes that smell. The new rose bushes don't smell, right?
I know. That is such a shame. Right? It's like the same with tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh, the garden. Yes. I inhale everything in the garden. So I run across the street. I go back and forth to just sniff all the neighbors' roses. Sometimes I have to go up their path and it's a little awkward because then I see them in the window and I'm like, hi, just sniffing your roses. And my husband
just
thinks I'm a crazy person, but it gives me so much joy.
Yes. Well, interesting. I this thing of breeding sentence and certain things for durability and like shelf life and things. And it turns out it's very energy, it's very costly for plants to create smells. And so if they breed the smell out, then the plant can redirect those resources elsewhere. And so it's meant to make the plant more vital And yet I feel like I want, where are the roses of yesteryear or the lilacs or, mm-hmm. or, you know, and the thing about perfume and beautiful smells is you can't glut yourself on it. You can't yeah. overdo it. You can't bookmark it. You can't save it for later. You can't procrastinate. It's like now, and you can't even keep enjoying it for very long. It's like, it grounds you in now. In a way that very few things do. You can have too many chocolate chip cookies, and you can binge watch something for too long, but you can't smell a good smell, what, for more than probably 5-10 minutes, and then that nose blind, that you just lose the ability to smell it.
Yeah. Kelsey, actually, I remember you went on one of those hikes with me. I was sad one day, and I'm like, let's just take our scooters and you know, race around the neighborhood and smell roses.
I literally just said that to Ryan. I said, I can vouch for that. She yeah. does. But I mean, honestly, Maria, you were the one who kind of turned me on to that. I'll pull jasmine off and sit there and smell it. And I'm huge with smell too. It helps so much. I don't know if it's both the deep breathing as well as the smell, but oof, yeah.
Yeah. And it's nature. Like, nature makes me so happy. And so I feel like, when I went to a Tony Robbins seminar, and one of the things that we talked about was how can you access happiness really quickly in your life? And that stuck with me because, you know, happiness, I think sometimes we equate it with expensive events, Disney World or a vacation or things like that. So I had to reconfigure my brain to say, okay, here's a list of things that if I'm unhappy, I can shift really quickly with these few things. And so I made the list, and it was like smelling flowers, going for a walk, hugging my dogs, looking for butterflies, or, you know, going out into nature and taking my, you know, shoes off and walking in grass. And so I kept that list until I made it a habit. And so now when I'm unhappy, it's a habit. I know, okay, this is an emotion I don't really want to sit in right now. And I'm going to go access my happiness for free because it's available and it's possible.
Well, I think that's really important because I think sometimes people feel like unhappiness or happiness just kind of washes over you and you sort of just have to take whatever it comes, instead of realizing like there's a lot of things that we can do. Now, some circumstances are beyond your control, but there are many things that you can control. Just like you say, if you're like, I'm going to feel better if I like take off my shoes and walk around outside in the fresh green grass, and that's going to like, that's something that you can do. That's something that you can control. And even having a sense of control makes people feel happier. Mm-hmm. And so even the idea like, oh, I would like to change something, I would like to do something, that itself will be reassuring to you to realize that there's things that you can do. I think it's great. I think everyone should have a long list of healthy treats. And they have to be healthy treats, like walking, you know, smelling jasmine, because you don't want to do something to make yourself feel better that then just ends up making you feel worse in the long run, like the extra brownie or mm-hmm. the impulse purchase or, you know, the extra glass of wine. You want these things that are going to make you happier in the long run. But having a big list like that, that you can go to when you feel like you need to give yourself a little bit of a charge, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I like keeping it on the refrigerator because that's usually where you're going to go to when you're unhappy.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, guess I don't need that Snickers ice cream bar. I'm going to go for a hike.
Yeah. Tempting to reach for the wrong thing.
Yeah. You've spent your life researching happiness. So the things that you're mentioning are researched. They're not just opinions. These are like heavily researched solutions. And so let's go into kind of the deeper happiness. You know, we mm-hmm. went through the 911. But overall, yeah. to have a more happy life and maybe joyful life. And like you said, it can't always be that. And by the way, contrast is so important because without the contrast, you wouldn't know what happiness is.
Yeah, if you were going to say what's the secret to happiness, I think you could answer that question in two ways, depending on kind of what angle you take on the question. And the first, ancient philosophers and contemporary scientists agree that to be happy, we have to have strong relationships with other people. We need to feel like we belong. We need to be able to confide. We need enduring, intimate bonds. We need to be able to get support. And just as important for happiness, we need to be able to give support. And when scientists study people who say that they're very happy, what they see is these are people who have a lot of deep relationships in their lives. Now, of course, people are different. Some people want to go into a big cocktail party. Some people want to like sit down and have coffee with one friend. People have different social energies. But this need for enduring social bonds is something that everyone shares. And so it's part of our nature. Our human nature is, you know, to connect with other people. And so if you're thinking about what to do to be happier, anything that broadens our relationships or deepens our relationships is probably something that's going to make us happier, whether that's joining a book group or, you know, spending the money to go to your college reunion or organizing a party or going to that Zoom call, even though you feel zoomed out. These are things that are probably going to make us happier. Now, the other way you can answer the question, about what is the secret to happiness is self-knowledge, because each of us is different. There's no magic one-size-fits-all solution. To you, nature sounds really important. To other people, nature's not that important. Mm-hmm. I have a friend and she said, oh, Gretchen, you know I hate the outdoors. And I was like, can you do that? Like,
my husband.
Sure you can.
My husband. Yeah. He wants to be in front of a TV.
So, I mean, for some people, music. For some people, travel. For some people, cooking. Like there's, you know, and then there's certain things that are, like I said, you know, everybody needs relationships. But what that might look like for a person might be very different from one person to another person. So we each have to figure it out for ourselves. So we have to know ourselves. And you think, well, what's easier than knowing yourself? You just hang out with yourself all day long. And yet often we're distracted by the way we wished we were or the way we think we ought to be or what other people expect from us or want from us. And so I often I'm looking for kind of indirect questions to give me insight into the truth about myself, maybe things that I don't recognize or don't even want to recognize, because it's only by recognizing what's true about ourselves can we make a life that reflects our own interests, our own temperament, our own values.
I have to ask, you know, the first thing you talked about was having strong bonds and strong relationships. How many people would you say, like, sometimes I feel like I have this conversation with a lot of people, even with myself, like, how many people are you supposed to have as those close friends? Because sometimes I say to a lot of my friends, I'm like, you're lucky if you have one true confidant that you can really say everything that you feel to. Is it supposed to be more or is one enough?
Well, I don't think that there's one answer for that because I think people really do have different needs and different desires. I'm not sure I have anybody in my life who I think I would tell anything to. Maybe my sister, but no, definitely not my sister. So maybe I don't have a big desire to disclose my deepest, darkest thoughts, but then, I don't know if you saw the television show Transparent, but one of the things that struck me is how those two sisters and brothers, they told each other stuff. I was like, I can't believe that they're just casually telling each other these things. And so it's interesting how people have so I don't think there is one answer. I think some people want to have many friends. Some people want to have one best friend. Some people really want a romantic relationship, or other people, a romantic relationship isn't as important. And here's something interesting. For many people, having an animal in their life is really an important kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. Many people feel like there's nothing that they wouldn't do to have a dog or less conveniently to have a horse. Like there is that group of people that are like, they really, really want to be around horses, which dogs are easier, cats are easier. But, you know, I have a dog and I was surprised by we got a dog 5 years ago, how much happier our family was, how much happiness, even though all the research shows, dogs make people happier. I'm like, well.
I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Diehis, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it.
This is really true. But for some people, it's like a hunger. It's like they pine for that. And if that's true for you, then I think that would be something that you would want. Whereas for someone else, it might be nice the way that it is for me, like I enjoy it. And then for other people, they'd say, well, I would prefer to have more freedom and not to have the responsibility of a pet or an animal in my life. And so for me, it's not the right decision. So I think there's not a blueprint. It's more like a toolkit. You pick the tools that work for you, but there's not like one size fits all.
I like that. I think that that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, my dogs are my everything.
And see?
For me, it's nature and animals. Those are the two things that make me the happiest.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, see, and you know that about yourself. And so, because you have that clarity of your own values, that can, okay, you're going to move. Are you going to have a backyard? It sounds like you're probably going to want to have a backyard. You know what I mean? Whereas for somebody else, they'd be like, why don't I get an apartment that I don't have to worry about my yard? You know?
Yeah.
Once you know these things about yourself, it's much easier to sort of, but on the other hand, we don't want those to become limitations, because sometimes people get identities that lock them in or can even trap them. So that's part of the tension. You want to know yourself, but you also want to be willing to change and grow. We want to accept ourselves, but we also want to expect more from ourselves. So there's, you sort of can't like figure it out and stop thinking about it. It's kind of the challenge of our whole lives.
Well, we evolve, right? So like for me, I remember after I had surgery 3 years ago, I wanted to, you've talked about this in your YouTube talks, is I wanted to shed everything. I'm like, get rid of all the materials. Yeah. They're weighing me down. They're forcing me to have to work to support all these things. I'm going to move into a like little condo, keep it simple, and not have the stress of this, you know, these burdens. And my husband was looking at me. He's like, I don't know if you're going to be happy without the trees and the yard and the grass. And I think that as you evolve, you can make sacrifices for the different reward, right? So for me, yes, I could see that maybe I would be sad if I left a property that gave me those scents and that happiness. But if I moved somewhere where I didn't have all the stress and the burdens and the worries, and then it gave me more freedom to go access those other things, you know, whether it's getting a condo somewhere in the mountains where I could hike and have that feeling anytime I wanted, you can do it in different ways rather than kind of pigeonholing yourself.
Well, I know exactly what you mean, because before the COVID situation happened, I was going to the Metropolitan Museum every day. I was going to do it every day in 2020. And one of the things I love about the Met is like the more I went, the more I felt like it was mine. You know, like I kind of inhabited it because I was there so much, and yet I had no responsibility. I'm like, I wouldn't want a valuable painting. I'd have to insure it. I'd have to light it. I'd have to frame it. Like, where would I put it? Like, who wants all that? I mean, yeah. I wouldn't even want it if you gave it to me for free. It's too much responsibility. But this way, it's like I can enjoy it all. And it's like I can and I live right. Like, I'm so fortunate. I live very close to the Met. It's right there. Yeah, but I just walk away. It's like and I live right by Central Park. And I'm like, I go to Conservatory Garden. And it's this beautiful cultivated garden with all these plantings and everything. And I walk through it and I enjoy it. And then I wave my hand goodbye and go back and don't have to, like, you know,
manage it.
Yeah, I don't have to deadhead a plant. Yeah, and so I think you're right. I think sometimes you can find it different ways to get to whatever it is that makes you happy. You don't necessarily have to own it all or buy it or have it, you know, right under your roof in order to take advantage of it. And this is, I love to read, and I mean, that's what I love about the library. It's like I can just take it and then return it. I don't even have to find a place for it on my shelf, you know?
Yeah.
So there is great joy in that.
You talk about happiness as a spectrum. Can you get into that for us a little bit?
Well, you know, I think sometimes people think of happiness as like, okay, this is, you know, what is happiness? I need to be a 10 on the 1 to 10 scale and I should be there all the time. But really, you know, happiness, they say, research suggests that it's about 50% genetically determined. So some people are born Tiggers and some people are born Eeyores. And we see that in the world. That's hardwired. Then about 10 to 20% is something called life circumstances. So that's age, health, marital status, occupation, education, things like that. And then all the rest is within, very much influenced by our conscious thoughts and actions. So that's the kind of thing where you're like, I'm going to take a walk and smell a lot of old roses. Well, that's something that you're deciding to do. It's going to affect your happiness, but it's within your conscious control.
All right, we're back, you guys. That was craziness.
All right. So there was a mild power outage. All of a sudden, I started seeing things flickering, and I'm like, what's happening? And then boom, We're gone, but we're back.
We back.
Like the Terminator. So Gretchen, let's start back where we were a minute before that. So you talk about happiness drum.
Yeah, research suggests that about 50% of happiness is genetically determined. So some people are born Tiggers, some people are born Eeyores, and that's pretty much hardwired. Then about 10 to 20% is something called life circumstances. That's things like education, occupation, marital status, health. And then all the rest is very much influenced by our conscious thoughts and actions, like your decision to go outside for a walk and smell some old rose bushes. That's something that you decided to do. You knew it would make you happier, and so you did it. So for all of us, I think that's where we can really concentrate, because that's where we can influence that range. One person might be a 7 to a 10, another person might be 4 to 7, but we all have things that we can do within our control, within our conscious thoughts and actions, that can make sure that we're staying up at the top of our range instead of pressing ourselves down to the bottom of our range.
Got it. You talk a lot about some simple things that you can do to be happy. I was watching one of your videos and you were talking about sleeping and how important sleep is, yeah. Singing, moving. Can you go through the list of things that we all pretty much know, but we don't abide by, right? Like, I feel like there should be some like non-negotiables in life, like the 7 hours of sleep. And there might be moments, but you can't let it become more than a moment.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I wrote a book called Better Than Before that's all about habits, how we can make or break our habits. And I found 21 strategies that people use, and that seems like a lot. But it's good because some work really well for some people and not very well for others. And some we can use at some time in our lives, but not at others. But one of the strategies is the strategy of foundation. And that's the four things that really lay the groundwork for self-mastery. You know, if you get these things under control, it's a lot more likely that you're going to feel happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative, and that you're going to be able to get yourself to do other things that are probably going to contribute to your happiness. And you mentioned a bunch of them just like in a flash. One is getting enough sleep. We all know we need it, at least 7 hours for most adults. And yet it's very easy to stay up too late, to be awake with racing thoughts, or, you know, have irregular sleep, what's called social jet lag, which is basically the way you sleep on Thursday is so different from the way you sleep on Saturday. It's as if you're flying, you know, from one coast to the other coast every weekend. Things like going to sleep at the same time. I think it's really helpful for adults to give themselves a bedtime, just like you would give a toddler a bedtime, give yourself a bedtime, maybe set an alarm for your bedtime. I started getting ready for bed far before I planned to go to sleep, so that, because I realized sometimes I was so tired that I couldn't face like washing my face and taking out my contact lenses. So I just stayed up, which is not good. It's not rational. So I get ready well before I'm going to go to sleep. So one is sleep. Another is exercise. And, you know, exercise is like the magical elixir of life. It both calms us and energizes us. Sometimes people think that they're too tired to exercise. But in fact, unless you're exercising really at the extreme, exercise tends to boost energy instead of draining energy. And so feeling kind of sluggish or listless is a reason to exercise, not a reason to skip exercising. And the health effects of exercise, it's just like every day you open up the New York Times and there's a new study. Memory, immune function, focus, memory, all these things. We just need exercise to help our bodies work properly and our minds work properly. And what's really reassuring is that you get the biggest gains going from being completely sedentary to only slightly less sedentary. And so you do not need to go for like an hour spin class or train for the marathon. If you go for a 20-minute walk every day, it has extraordinary health benefits. On the Happier podcast, my sister and I, for 2020, we challenged all of our listeners to walk 20 minutes for every day in 2020. And people have walked 1,000 miles. Their dogs have lost weight. I mean, you know, it's like, and once you start, it's so much easier to get going. So exercise. And another one is eating. And it's funny, sometimes one of the reasons people overeat is they haven't eaten enough. So you skip breakfast, you skip lunch, and then you're so hungry, you just go running to the vending machine and you just can't resist what's there.
Poor choices.
what?
You reach for the poor choice because you're so hungry. Yeah,
Right, because you're like, oh, it's too much trouble.
I'm sure you've heard about probiotics. We recently partnered with Just Thrive. Tina Anderson is the mastermind behind this extraordinary product. Why do we need a probiotic?
The world we're living is so disruptive to our gut health, from antibiotics that we take, from Roundup that's sprayed out over our food supply, to stress. We see symptoms like gas and bloating, diarrhea, constipation, skin rashes, autoimmune issues and allergies, mood disorders. So anxiety, depression, all of those types of issues are stemming from our imbalance in our gut.
And the thing about Just Thrive probiotic is you don't have to refrigerate it.
To be a probiotic, it needs to be alive in your intestines, not alive in the refrigerator. And most of those probiotics in the refrigerator actually don't make it to the intestines alive, which is the goal.
If we couple the Just Thrive probiotic and the Just Calm, what do we get?
We know the probiotic alone is helping with the leakiness of the gut and helping all other types of things in our with our overall health. But we know now when we add the Just Calm, it's helping with our mood.
Guys, Just Thrive is a game changer. If you're ready to take control of constipation, bloat, and stress and live your healthiest life yet, you can get 20% off your first 90-day bottle of Just Calm and Just Thrive probiotic today. Just visit justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code HEALSQUAD. You won't regret it.
To, like, you know, pull together something or, you know, like cook something, I just need to grab something out of a Crackly package in a vending machine. So, you know, making sure you don't get too hungry. Another thing is, you know, drinking. Part of the reason drinking is fun is because it lowers inhibitions. And you're trying to, like, eat healthy and maintain, contribute to your happiness. A lot of times drinking can encourage sort of things that in the long run are not going to make us happier. And then the final thing, which I think is less obvious than the other three, but I've heard it over and over from people, and I certainly feel this way myself, and it sounds like maybe you kind of have this aspect to your nature as well, which is outer order. For so many people, outer order contributes to inner calm and inner energy and inner focus. And over, people will tell me the most important thing I do for my happiness project is to make my bed every day. It's not the most significant thing you can do, but it is something that makes people feel like, you know, it just makes me feel better every day. A friend of mine said, I finally cleaned out my fridge and now I know I can switch careers. And I thought, I know exactly how that feels. Yeah. And you see this right now with the pandemic. A friend of mine, how brilliant is this? Like right when it started, her three sons came home, the grown sons came home from college and like being grownups, came back home. So she rented a dumpster. And every weekend, 10 weeks of the time that she was safer at home, they went through closets, the basement, the garage, and she put her sons to work, like putting stuff in the dumpster and like putting stuff to the side so that they could donate when everything opened up again. And I'm like, that's genius, right? Because she made good use of this time. And I'm sure it was very comforting to like, I can't control the virus, but I can control my coat closet and just like creating that elbow room and creating that order. But the genius was to get the dumpster. She'd lived in that house for 25 years in the suburbs. And so she said it needed a dumpster.
Oh,
so,
I'm sure. Right? My husband and I think it was last summer, we allowed my brother to move in to our home on the East Coast with my parents for, it was supposed to be a short time while his place was being renovated. It ended up being a year and he's a hoarder. So we went back to our house and it was, I mean, packed to the gills, like with just junk, just like he's the type of person who finds, this was an example, a basketball rim on the side of the road that someone's thrown out and they threw it out because it's bent. I don't know if you know anything about basketball, but you can't get a ball into a bent rim. And he brought it home and said, oh, I thought this would be great. We could put it up and we could have a basketball net. And I'm like, I don't understand. My husband had to make, I think it was 30 something trips to the dump with a long van packed all the way around his head, like just with just trash. And so I totally understand that feeling. And she must have been so happy when it was done. And we talk about organization and order being such a big key to happiness. I've written it in my books because for me, it is true. I need order in my house. The second I'm seeing a mess, I'm unhappy. I need my counters clean. I need my kitchen clean. Everything has to be in its place. I make my bed every morning, whether I like it or not. I do it because I want to come back at night and see a freshly made bed. And I want to feel good about getting into bed. It doesn't feel good when you see a sloppy bed and trying to get into that.
Well, I feel exactly the same way. And what's funny to me is my sister is, she's one of these people who I call clutter blind. They are the small category of people who they don't see clutter. It does not bother them. They don't care.
Yeah.
And whenever I go over to my sister's house, I beg her to let me, like, can I clean up your office? Can I clean out your closet? And she lets me because she knows how much fun it is for me. She doesn't really care. I mean, you know, on balance, she's like, sure, it's nice, but it doesn't back up on her the way it would with me. Like, she wouldn't close a kitchen cabinet door.
Oh my God.
Ever if she lived by herself. Like, if she's like, I don't even see it. And I'm like, this pile of mail on your counter is like weighing on my soul. I can't sleep at night if I know that it's here with all the junk mail in with the bills. Like, we got to do this right now. She doesn't feel it. And it took me a long time to understand some people just don't see it. And this can lead to a lot of conflict if you like live with someone or work with somebody who like is like this. But I realized it's really just a preference. No one's right, no one's wrong. We have to like find a way. No, I don't think so.
Okay, I have a very important question to ask you. So in your research, have you done the research on this specific area? I find the most successful people are organized.
No.
In my experience.
There's a wonderful book by Mason Curry called...
Jeff's going to stay a slob in that office now. Fuck.
This book by Mason Curry, Daily Rituals, what he does is it's not really daily rituals, it's really daily habits. And he goes through the daily habits of more than 100 highly creative, successful people. Scientists, painters, choreographers, writers... and what you see is that some stay up super late and some wake up super early and some work alone in the shed and some work in the middle of a crowded studio and some drink coffee and some drink vodka and some are very messy and some are super tidy. And what they have in common is that they figured out what they need and they get it. If they need solitude, they get solitude. If they need a crowd, they put themselves in a crowd. And they know what is the environment that allows them to do their best work. And then they cultivate that. But the idea that, well, if you look at the people who are the most successful, you'll see this. It's like, because if you look at that book and I think anybody that you say, I could say, okay, but what about blah, blah, blah. It sort of doesn't matter to me individually or you individually, because what I care about is what about me, and you care about what about you, and maybe I care about my husband or my, you know, if he's lucky, if I'm taking an interest. But I don't think that it's possible. And even if you could say, okay, 80% of the people who are highly successful, according to any measure, are highly organized, that doesn't tell you anything if you're one of the 20%. And it doesn't really tell you anything other than people are different. Most people are right-handed, but I'm one of the 10, one out of every 10 that's left-handed. Am I wrong? No, I just do things in a different way. No one's right, no one's wrong, but we have to figure out a way that right-handed people and left-handed people can make use of a writing desk, which I can tell you from college, there was not enough attention paid to left-handed people at that time. Now, fortunately, that we type. Right. It doesn't matter if you're left-handed or right-handed.
Okay.
Big relief.
But what is the percentage of successful hoarders?
Well, hoarding is really a mental illness.
Okay.
There's pack rats. You know, there's people who are very sentimental and have a hard time getting rid of things. Hoarding is really something different. And feeds into other kinds of issues that people face. Mm-hmm. It isn't part of the kind of ordinary spectrum. It's something different.
Okay. Okay.
So, and I think what you described is not in what a person would say is kind of ordinary pack ratness.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about all the people in my life right now. There are many, many people in my head as I'm asking some of these questions, but I wonder, you know, when you think of,
there are checklists for hoarding. If like, you're wondering, is this person like a true hoarder? It's pretty easy. Like that's very identified.
Yeah. I was obsessed with the show, so I think I've got the checklist down at this point. I thought that show was, I mean, eventually I couldn't watch it anymore.
I couldn't watch it.
Yeah. It was like the news. It just got too depressing, but it was a novelty at first. I do think that whenever we have, organization experts or time management experts, you get to see that people who are disorganized spend a lot more time on things than organized people. because they're sloppy. And and so I feel like there is something there.
What you consider disorganized, would they say that it's disorganized? Because they might say, well, I know where everything is in all these piles, and I don't have to look for something. And I feel like unexpected juxtapositions stimulate my creativity. Because, I think a lot of times when people set up this research, they kind of set it up to suit themselves. Like the people who become organization experts are the kind of people who love Marie Kondo. You know what I mean? It's just like the way, I won't even get into like moderators and abstainers, but I think sometimes like organization itself, it's like, what do you mean by that? One of the ways I think about it is simplicity lovers and abundance lovers. So clearly you and I are simplicity lovers. We like things being organized, probably lots of clear counters, bare shelves, a lot of room in the closet, at least for me as a simplicity lover, I don't like a lot of buzz. I don't like a lot of profusion. I like things very quiet and calm. But abundance lovers, they like collections and profusions and a lot going on and piles and like collections and like a lot of stuff on the, on the counter. And it's not, or like I walked into a friend's kitchen and lined up on her counter, it was like a spoon stand, a bottle of Advil, a couple bottles of like fancy olive oil. I mean, it was all out. And I'm like, ooh, can we just put this in a cabinet like and clear off your counter? She's like, no, I like having it out. Well, who's right, who's wrong?
Yeah.
She says it's more convenient for her. She sees it, it's right out there. I'm like putting it behind a cabinet. Arguably, my way is less convenient. So it's not that one person's right and one person's wrong. It's that I think there are preferences. Now, are there people who are disorganized and who can never find anything? Of course you're right. Yeah. There are. And there are people who cannot find their keys to save their lives. And you think, and I mean, I'm exasperated by those people, you know, as much as I 100% agree. So like everything, every medicine can become poison and mm-hmm. everything can become too much. But I do think, I do see where like, if there's a boss like me, who's a simplicity lover, it's very tempting to walk around the office and say things like, a cluttered desk means a cluttered mind, get all this stuff put away.
That's what works for me.
That's the environment that works for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's necessarily the best environment for someone else.
Interesting.
And so I think often we want to argue, I'm right, you're wrong. When really it's like, this works for me, what works for you?
I'm so getting checked right now. This is hilarious. Poor Jeff is like, I'm vindicated.
I can just leave my shit everywhere. No, but I'm not saying clutter is things that you don't need, don't use, don't love, or things that are completely out of place. But I think a lot of things that to you and me would look cluttered do not seem cluttered to the person who owns them. My daughter is an abundance lover. She's 15 years old. I walk into her room and I'm like, it's like my eyeballs hurt because it's just stuff everywhere. But she's deliberately put everything. She loves the way it looks. It's carefully arranged. If I move one thing, she knows. It's not clutter to her.
Yeah.
It's mindful. It's purposeful. It's pleasing.
Well,
it's not inconvenient for her. It doesn't get in her way or slow her down.
I get it because when I first met my husband, I remember.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
Actually, when we first lived in our first house and we were moving, he looked at me and he goes, you poor thing. And there were like a million to-do lists. And I'm like someone, my shadow self is a mess, right? So like if I was to do shadow work, it's because I know I'm raging against the side of me that is disorganized and, you know, the daughter of hoarders. And so mm-hmm. I'm always raging against it because it doesn't make me feel good. And I know it's not how I want to be. So I have to rage against and work so hard to keep it away.
Well, so then for you, it might really be upsetting to be not just kind of annoying, but actually
makes me want
to
throw up,
like a grating noise that you can't stand.
Yes, because I
to be around that environment. And again, that's just to say, for whatever reason, I can't work like this.
Yeah.
And so can you please try to respect that out of consideration, not because I'm right and you're wrong, but out of consideration, because this is how I can do my best work. And often people will say, like, I'm not going to concede that you're right, but I'm happy to do things that will make this more comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Because I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
And that's very different
Before we move on from this subject, because my husband is going to say, I don't believe this. I believe we're right. And disorganized people work the hardest. I just want you to tell me from your research that we are correct or we are wrong.
Well, the word disorganized is ambiguous, because I don't know, by disorganized, do you mean
hot messes,
things in the wrong place?
People who are a hot mess and their shit's everywhere.
My sister is the most cluttery person that I know, and she's incredibly effective and successful. So, you know, like, she might say, why would I spend half an hour of useful time a day closing kitchen and cabinet doors and sorting out my mail, when I could spend that time doing something else? You know what I mean? Or
maybe they're just happier.
I mean, she's happier for her. I wouldn't be happier like that. But I don't understand why it has to be a rule that's true for everyone.
Yeah. No, I just thought, I mean, my husband has brainwashed me into believing that. So I thought it was true. I blame him.
I mean, looking for lost objects is like, that's not good for anyone. And there are people, like, most people can use systems to find things, and then some people really can't. But then there's usually workarounds. Like, I forget what it's called. Maybe you know it. It's, you put it on your keychain, like your keys or your wallet called, or your phone, or anything that you lose, and then you can activate it. And so it's like your phone that can, you, because it's like some people just cannot remember where they put things.
Yeah.
And they can't put it in the key bowl every time or whatever. So there's workarounds for people who really can't. But disorganized, it's if the person themselves is saying, I am disorganized, or you're saying you're disorganized. Because a lot of times you tell people they're disorganized and they're like, but I'm not disorganized, right? Haven't you been in arguments like that?
No, yeah.
Some people admit it, and some people are like, no, it's totally, it's organized for me.
It's, yeah.
Like, well, if you can always find things when you want them, like,
what's the issue?
Why do I have to tell you that you have to use an alphabetical filing system? Yeah.
This is so true and very educational. I never would have thought that this was the conversation we were going to have today. And I think it's really important.
But you know, my heart is with you. That is where my heart is. I am with you 100%. I am so judgy in my own life. Like, I want everybody, it's very hard for me not to tell people to, like, clear their counters.
Yeah.
Ask my sister.
Yeah, no, I get it. Before we go, though, and I feel like we're going to have to hopefully try to get you on this show more, because I think you have so much important information for our listeners. But one of the things you said that struck me so much, and I think is so important, especially for women, you were talking about stressful periods in one's life and the kind of instinct to unload. And you talk about, rather than unloading, adding more work, like challenging work that can, give you more novelty. So to do more, not less. This blew me away. And I can't let you go without understanding this.
Oh, well, this is this sort of counterintuitive thing that I first noticed in my own life. And then I realized that that a lot of people experience this, is exactly what you're saying. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel burnt out, a lot of times the instinct is to say, okay, I got to throw stuff overboard. I've got to eliminate. I've got to get off these positions. I got to get off these boards. I got to quit this committee. I've got to turn down this assignment. I need to lighten my load. And sometimes that's absolutely true. However, I've often experienced myself, and I know many people, and I've talked to many people who have experienced the same thing, is that sometimes by reaching out for something new, something exciting, something challenging, we kind of, you know, it's that weird thing of like, there's always somehow more time if you have more. It's like, you know, you break your leg and you're like, I don't have time for this. And it's like, but somehow magically you have time if you have to have time. You add something and it can be a source of energy and excitement. And again, that sense of self-control and self-efficacy, that's so exciting. And sometimes just the novelty of something and the challenge of like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do this. I've talked to so many people where it's like they were really burnt out and really overwhelmed. So they added something like a side hustle. You know, many people have side hustles. And what they find is like they have their day job and now they have a side hustle too. And yet they feel energized by it. And they feel like even their day job is getting energized by it because it's doing something new. It's exercising a different part of your brain. For some people, adding this new project is something that maybe was missing from their life in a way, like music. I think many people who love music, they did it a lot when they were younger. Because when you're young, it's like you have lessons and you have band at school and your friends have a band, you know, a jazz band or whatever. But then as you get older, that can slip away. And I've talked to many people where like they were super busy. They have work, they have family, whatever. And then they start taking lessons again, or they have a band with their friends. I have a friend who plays the drums in an Irish band, and they play at Irish pubs around New York City every week. And it's like, it's the light of his life. Yeah. You know, it's such an engine of happiness for him. Now you could say it's more work, it's more meetings, it's more, you know, scheduling, it's less leisure. And yet it completely lights up the rest of his life. So sometimes we need to take things away, but sometimes we need to add something. And that can be really exciting.
I think that's amazing. I added guitar lessons a couple years ago and ballroom dancing, and it made me so happy.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
And did you find that it felt like the time opened up to allow those things to slip in?
Yeah. And it was meditative for me because those things require your full focus. So you can't be tweeting or thinking of other things. You're in it because you have to learn it. And so it was a meditative process for me. And so I really, really enjoyed it. And I think, you know, we had an expert on the other day who talked about the importance of play, especially for adults. And I think what you're saying is, you know, as you become adults, you have this kind of vision of what an adult is, and that doesn't include play anymore, unless you have kids and you're playing with them. But, you know, we need play still too. And that's what I think when I heard this, the novelty of something else, like if you're burnt out over here, we also had another expert that said something similar to this. I can't remember what it was now, but adding something that's going to give you a new
identity.
Kind of excitement. It fills your cup in a different way because you're challenging yourself. And I always find that my best moments in my life is when I've tried something new and it's like, oh my God, oh my God, am I going to make it? Oh, that was awesome. Oh, okay, cool. I did it. And so it's in that kind of sink or swim moment where you find the most elation and the most satisfaction.
Yeah. And that's one thing that surprised me when I was doing the happiness research is I thought I love familiarity and mastery. And the research shows that novelty and challenge make people happier, but I don't think that's true for me. And I found exactly what you said. Novelty and challenge are things that tend to make people happier. And it can be frustrating. It can be confusing. You can feel dumb. You can feel scared. And then you get through it and it's often exhilarating. But here's a question to the question of play, because I've talked to many adults and they're kind of like, I don't even really know what I would do for play. I mean, I have fun with my family, but it's like, is it really fun for the whole family? Maybe, maybe not. How do you get in touch with what's fun for you if you don't remember, if you don't know? One of the questions to ask yourself is, what did you do for fun when you were 10 years old? Mm-hmm. Because whatever you did for fun then is probably something you would enjoy now. So what I did is I would copy my favorite quotations in blank books and then glue in an illustration that I had cut out from a magazine. I did this for hours and hours and hours for years. I still have them all these blank books. And now I have a Moment of Happiness newsletter where every weekday I send out one of my favorite quotations about happiness or human nature. And I get exactly the same pleasure out of like copying the quotations and putting them in line. It's exactly the same thing that I did when I was 10 years old. And I love it. It's just adapted to my adult life. So what did you like to do for fun when you were 10 years old?
I did have to do this exercise, and it was singing and playing instruments, even though I didn't have formal lessons. And I wanted to have dance classes, but we couldn't afford that. And I had to go to work with my parents when I was younger. So it was the stuff I never got to do, but always wanted to do.
Oh, yes.
That I decided to, you know, we were janitors and we had to go to work with my parents and we were too poor for any of that stuff. So it was like, oh, I never got to learn an instrument. I'm going to learn an instrument. I'm going to take ballroom dancing classes because I know.
I love that. Yeah. And not saying, well, I missed my chance.
Yeah.
But that window closed.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I loved playing sports. So pickleball is something that I love, and it's the fastest growing sport in our country anyhow, FYI. But I love activity. I love playing. And for me, I could play all day. You know, that just makes me so happy. And so, yeah.
I have a friend who grew up poor, and his parents were they didn't want to buy him anything anyway. And as an adult, he said he went out one day and he just bought himself all the toys that he'd ever wanted, like all the things that he really, really, really wanted.
Oh, that's funny.
And he's like, I'm just going to buy them and have them. And it kind of reclaimed them for himself. Yeah. And I thought, that's a beautiful gesture.
Yeah.
You know, to the child that you were.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. So many amazing nuggets in here for people who want to access happiness, who may be overwhelmed and think that doing less is better. And of course, now we know when I'm done with this show, I'm going to have to go apologize to Jeff for trying to force my organization and cleanliness onto him. And so, Gretchen, this has been an amazing and one of my favorite episodes, maybe my favorite ever. So thank you.
Well, I so enjoyed the chance to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Hopefully you'll come back because there's like pages of stuff that we didn't get to, but
we've got to talk about scent and perfume and flowers.
Yes.
Never enough.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, yes. So thank you. And we will hopefully get you back soon and we can talk about all of that. Of course, if you don't have her new book, Outer Order, Inner Calm, it's available wherever books are sold. And we didn't get to the four tendencies, but if you want to know which of the four tendencies you are, you can take the quiz on Gretchen's website, which I don't have right here, but Jeff will say it and hopefully won't be an echo.
Just GretchenRubin.com.
There you go. GretchenRubin.com. Thank you,
Gretchen.
Or you
can go, if you want to go straight there, it's quiz.GretchenRubin.com to find out if you're an upholder, a questioner, an obliger, or rebel.
We will put that in the summary in a link so people can just click.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for bearing with us with our mini power outage. It's our first power outage, guys. Hey.
First for everything.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate. All right. Thank you so
okay,
much. Have a great
care.
Day.
Thank you. I so enjoyed it.
That was so cool. Yeah, Jeff, for some reason you had an echo. You probably had the Zoom and the other thing on.
Yes.
Stephen was in here to remind you of that. So now Kelsey and Ryan will have to remind you, but I think you could put a note there and you'll be good.
Well, I think it's on y'all's end, right?
Well, it was weird because when you told me he was echoing, he was muted. So then we unmuted him and then we remuted him. I'm blaming the power outage.
Well, I will just say that when you see me texting in the middle of a show, guys, I'm not being rude. It's because we're having a technical issue that I need to make everybody aware of because sometimes they're not aware.
Yes.
Somehow, if I'm aware, you should be aware, but I don't know if it's going to get fixed. So what have we learned, guys?
We have learned a lot. My mind is still blown about the whole, because I truly believe, like what you say, that if you're more organized, like how, I just am not grasping that.
Yeah.
Can you be, have your stuff all over the place and not, I don't know.
I learned a lot.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Take time to smell the jasmine.
Yeah.
Take time to smell the jasmine. Also, I love the idea of having that, like, what is that one song that is your happy song?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
like your 911 playlist.
Oh, yeah.
I think just taking time, period.
And let's get to Jeff. He's dying to talk.
Well, what
Jeff
I was gonna
is
say,
dying to
no,
get
no,
in
no.
here.
I was going to say, she didn't say if you're disorganized. She said if you're not cluttered. So I think that's important.
True.
Disorganized people are less efficient, but organization doesn't equal lack of clutter, I think was her point. Of, you know, if you have, like, let's say someone has piles of paper in their office. Someone who's not cluttered might look at that and say, that's disorganized. But to that person, they understand those systems perfectly, and their workflow isn't interrupted just because their office looks like that. Yeah. So that person is cluttered, but still organized. Disorganized people, the way you get stumbled and tripped up is the inability to find things or get things done.
Yeah.
So I think she didn't say disorganization does or doesn't help efficiency. She was talking about clutter.
There you go. So that would have been a really important distinction to discuss with her, because that means that we're right.
True.
Maria wants to know, just to make sure. Yeah.
I mean, no, because I still don't. I have observed people over a long period of time. I've done my own research, and I have found that people who are hot messes work a lot harder, and then they tend to hate their boss because they're overworking. And if they just kept a little order around them, they wouldn't be spending so much time looking for shit and stressing about and not having a system. It's like, Jeff, every time something would go wrong, I'm like, put it on the wall so that you have a checklist so you don't forget these things, right? Mm-hmm. So if I, as the boss here, right, have to keep saying the same things over and over to people, whether it's you guys or an assistant or somebody else, that's not an effective system, and that's something that's becoming more and more frustrating, right?
Right.
So if I had to say to Violetta every day, Violetta, you forgot to clean, you know, this, or Violetta, you forgot to do this, or that would not work. That system doesn't work. The fact that I don't have to say that is because she has figured out a way, whatever her system is, to make sure everything gets done, right? Yeah. And so that's where I think the nuances of people who don't have systems maybe
well, as a manager, like if someone's underperforming for you or under delivering, you know that there's a problem. So
then you're going to look at what could be the problems.
Exactly.
And to me, that would be the first thing, because it weighs you down. I think, like, for me, when my desk starts to pile up with shit, I'm like, oh, frig. And it just weighs me down. Then when I go attack it and put everything in its place or shred or get rid of it, I feel a lot better. And then I feel like I can take on new tasks and do them effectively. So maybe it's more about strategies, like kind of what we were talking about. And that can lead into our conversation tomorrow with our time management expert.
Totally. I'm so excited about tomorrow.
I'm excited too. I do have to say, you guys, she talking about her 15-year-old and all her stuff in her room, that resonated with me. My mother, if she's watching, is probably like, that was Kelsey. I had about 142,000 chapsticks, but I knew exactly where every single one was. But I think that comes back to strategy, right? It was like, to her, that was insane. To me, it was my organized chaos.
Yeah.
I'm less like that now, a lot less like that. But I still knew I had a strategy. So
yeah,
that was very interesting.
And I know my shadow self hates clutter, because I know I am clutter deep down somewhere inside.
I love the point she brought up, though, of like, if you're working with someone and they're cluttered and it's affecting you, instead of offering it as like, I know that you're wrong, or like, you have to fix this because you're wrong, say instead, you know, whether or not this system is working for you, it's challenging for me in my work environment to be so close to this. It would make me a lot happier, and I'd perform better if you could just make some adjustments in your workspace.
Yeah.
And then people will be so much more willing to oblige, because people hate being told they're wrong.
Yeah. No, it's true. I truly believed that I was right about this. So I had to keep asking her. I truly believed. So I would never have seen that perspective. But this is why, when you know better, you get better. Right?
Totally.
And this is where there is not a lot of forgiveness in our world for people who have a certain set of beliefs and they need to be educated. And so here I am, an ignorant human on my own show, telling Jeff he's got to get his shit together in that office.
Well, the truth is, there's truth to that as well. Like, if there have been times I've been late to get you a paper or whatever, or I have been underperforming or underdelivering, then I do need to make adjustments in here. It's probably like the truth is somewhere in the middle, you know?
I feel like we're at like a mini version of Howard Stern's show where everyone's a character and like you're like having open discussions about everybody's stuff. It's hilarious.
Well, I love it.
On the show, it's all about life, and so it's natural that these conversations would happen.
Well, without honesty and transparency, right? Like, how does anybody else learn, right? Yeah. Anybody who's watching this probably thinks like, we've got all our shit together and we're all perfect. Well, no. I couldn't wake myself up this morning because I took a CBD last
last night.
I got inspired by the Karina Talk guys. I don't know why. And I took one, and I think it really affected me. I could not wake up.
Drops, Maria, or was it a tablet?
No, it was a little sour gummy.
That's right.
You might need a half.
Yeah, I don't need it. I didn't even need it. I was so tired. We watched one episode of Rick and Morty. It was 10-ish, and I'm like, Kevin, I can't watch another. I got to go to bed. And guys, it was really hard. And I almost was like, can we just do like a repeat show today? But since it's your first time in the booth, I'm like, no, we gotta power along. And I will say, you guys are kicking ass. Steven is with his family, and you guys are doing a seamless job. So kudos.
Thank you, Maria. Minus the heart attack I had because of that slight power outage. I think everything's going well.
Thank you guys again for joining us here. I hope that this information is helpful to you. If it is, please help us back by rating, commenting, subscribing. We're trying to break 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. Please help us get there. And if you love the show, take a clip and social it out to your friends. You can just go to my Twitter, my Facebook, my Instagram. We post every day. We'd be so grateful for your support. Like I said, we do this for free every day. It is a lot of work, and we love doing it, and we want to get it to more people. So if you can help us in that, on that mission, that would be wonderful. If you liked today's episode, you might want to check out our episode with Swedish psychologist Katarina Blum. Katarina Blum?
It's like Blum.
Blum.
Yeah.
From May 18th, so check that out. Follow us at Maria Menounos, at Gretchen Rubin, at Rye Nilsson, at Jeffrey Crane Graham, at Kelsmeyer 22. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.